been a while since we were in this series in Matthew, and the last time that I preached, we went through the first part of this chapter where the death of John the Baptist is recounted and the sad events that surrounded that. And now we move on, and we will see today three significant actions on the part of Jesus, three significant things that he does that make it clear that Jesus really is God the Son. And I'd like to read, beginning with verse 13. And as we come before the Lord, let us ask his blessing upon his holy word as we look to it. O Lord our God, as we come now to look into your word and to hear the word proclaimed, we pray that you would make that word clear to us, that you would open our hearts to hear and to respond in faith to it. Bless us, O God, with your Spirit to make your word clear and plain to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 13 and reading through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of God. Now when Jesus heard this, this is about John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. And may God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. Jesus Christ is God the Son. We often say this, but sometimes we forget the significance of those words. Even the disciples of Jesus, who were personally with him for 3 years, sometimes had trouble recognizing that he really was, and of course still is, God. In our passage for today, we'll see Jesus clearly demonstrating his deity, and we'll also see the difficulty his disciples had in recognizing this. First of all, Jesus demonstrates the power of God to his disciples and to the people who come to him. And we see three different things going on here. First of all, we see Jesus healing the sick and demonstrating the power of God by doing just that. Jesus, first of all, demonstrates the love and compassion of God to those who are suffering. He had gone with his disciples into the wilderness to get away from the crowds. And remember, they had just heard of the death of John the Baptist and the terrible events that were going on surrounding that. And they needed a little break from their work so that they could reflect and pray and be strengthened and encouraged as they prepared to move forward. And so they went into the boat and they kind of circled along. It was kind of close enough to the shore that people could see that boat and see where it was going. And the people from the various towns set out on foot and they followed that boat around. And when they landed, there was this big crowd. Jesus could have become angry, of course. He could have become annoyed with the people for bothering him, not letting him have a break. He could have said, "Hey, enough is enough. Go home. Leave me alone." But instead, he healed the sick in the crowd. You see, wherever Jesus went, the crowds would come. They knew what he could do and what he had done. And he healed the sick among them. Now, this healing was different than what doctors would accomplish if we go to the doctor today or back then. A doctor could bandage a wound. A doctor could give a medicine to ease pain. They didn't have as much back then, of course, as we have today, no modern medicine, but the doctors of the day would do what they could to ease pain. Since sometimes illnesses are at least part psychological, a doctor could sometimes say the right thing to get a person to think that the illness was gone, and that person would then feel better. And they do things like that, and they still do today. What Jesus did was dramatically different. Jesus could touch someone's blind eye or simply say the word, and that person could suddenly see clearly where they had never seen before. Jesus could touch someone's leprous skin or simply say the word, and the leprosy would be gone and their skin would be clear and and fair. And the disease, the dreaded disease, would no longer be with them. Jesus could raise the dead to life. No one can do that today. All of these things were miraculous. They were things beyond our ability, but not beyond the ability of God. And the people kept coming because of what Jesus was doing. And he clearly demonstrated the power of God as he healed the sick. And then we see Jesus demonstrating the power of God by feeding more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think about that. Jesus healing many who were sick and most likely spending time teaching them out in the wilderness on that field. And it was a little bit of a hill and they'd sit there and he would teach. It would have taken considerable time. And the evening was approaching and they were in the wilderness. They weren't in a town where they could buy food or quickly go home to eat. But they were out. They were out a ways. And it was getting dark. And remember, we're talking back around the turn between B.C. and A.D. We're talking several thousand years ago, 2,000 more than 2,000 years. And so they didn't have electric lights to light up the park where they were. They didn't have cars or motorcycles to get quickly to somewhere to eat. They didn't have paved roads. It was somewhat similar to what my daughter Emily is experiencing in Africa right now. Quite primitive compared to us. And Jesus' disciples were rightfully concerned about the well-being of the people. There was no golden arches down the street where they could go and pick up a burger real quick. Not open all night. No convenient place. Life was different. When Jesus told the disciples that they were to feed the crowd, they must have felt a little annoyed and a little panicky. And you can imagine someone telling you to do something like that. And they searched around the crowd, and they found a young lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that was all the food that they found in that crowd of over 5,000 people. And as we think about these loaves and fish, keep in mind that the loaves weren't a big loaf of bread like we would normally have. It's similar to like a pita bread. It was kind of flat. It wasn't very big. And he had 5 of them. It wasn't very much. And the disciples were concerned that the situation could have gotten ugly if that hungry crowd couldn't have been fed. Think about it. If you add the women and children in there, there could have been close to 10,000 people out on that hill that they were ministering to. Think about that number of people. That's a lot of people. And Jesus, of course, knew what he was going to do. And he blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he miraculously caused them to yield enough food to not only feed the more than 5,000 people there, but to provide 12 baskets of leftovers when they were done. No ordinary man could do that. Not even a great magician. You can imagine probably about the amount of bread we have set out there for the Lord's Supper today would have been about one of those loaves. Imagine taking that and feeding 5,000 people with it. Not likely. Not likely. Something you and I cannot do. But Jesus demonstrated the power of God, the power that only God has, as he turned those 5 little loaves and those 2 little fish into enough food to feed that large crowd. And then Jesus demonstrates his power, the power of God, by walking on the water and controlling the forces of nature. After all the people had been fed, Jesus had his disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I've got a little map, and afterwards I'll put it out on the table if someone wants to see where all this was taking place. Jesus sent the crowd home. It was already dark. They had to walk quite a ways. They had come from all along the Sea of Galilee, which is like a small lake over there. And they had come a long way, and they had to walk. And he sent them home. John 6, verse 15 tells us that the people were ready to make Jesus their earthly king, and he was not prepared for that. There was not time. And he was not the kind of king they were looking for either. Jesus had come to live the perfect life that sinful people like you and I cannot live because we've inherited sin from Adam. To pay the penalty by hanging on the cross and dying to cover those sins. To rise again that third day in victory over sin and death. And then to ascend to the throne of his heavenly Father, where he is now seated as king, as the real king, the right hand of his Father. And he wouldn't let the worldly desires of the people to make him a king who would overthrow the Romans. That was not what he had come to do. And Jesus wanted time alone then to pray, and spent several hours there after the disciples left him. And by the time Jesus had finished his time of prayer, the disciples were about 3 to 4 miles from the shore, about halfway across to where they were going. And they were going from Bethsaida on the northeast shore to Gennesaret on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus walks out to them. Well, that's kind of an amazing thing when you think of it. Note that he was walking on top of the water. He wasn't swimming. It doesn't say Jesus swam to the boat. Jesus walked on top of the water. And he wasn't just walking along the shore where there might have been rocks that he could have stepped from step to step on the rocks. No, he was out where the water was deep, several miles out from where they had left. A storm had come up. The sea had large waves. And yet, Jesus is just walking along on top of those waves. He was probably bouncing a little bit because of them. And the disciples were struggling to keep the boat afloat and to keep it moving toward their destination. They'd been rowing about 6 to 10 hours by the time Jesus got to them. And so they were pretty tired too and worn out. And they were startled and frightened when Jesus was seen walking toward them. They thought they were seeing a ghost. It was a scary thing. And you can imagine if you were out in the middle of one of the lakes here, in the middle of the night, in the storm, and all of a sudden someone came walking out on top of the water toward you, you would probably be a little bit frightened by that when you think about it. It's a ghost, they said. But he called out and he comforted them and reminded them of his power. And he demonstrated that power not only as he walked on the water, but as he enabled Peter to walk out to him on the water as well. And as long as Peter kept his eye on the Lord and trusted in him, he stayed up. As soon as he doubted, he began to sink. But Jesus was able to just reach out his hand and lift him up. And they got into the boat. And then you see Jesus demonstrating the power of God as he caused the storm to cease. The wind ceased as they got into the boat. And the storm was gone. Well, the truth about Jesus, our second point, is not easy to grasp. What Jesus did, along with many other acts that we see of God recorded in the Scripture, they're not reasonable to the natural man. The miracles of healing, of causing the food to instantly multiply, of walking on the water, of exercising control over the weather, these aren't things that a normal human being can do. They're miraculous. And so if I were to give these two plates of bread to the elders and tell them to go out and feed the village of East Rochester with that bread, you would all think I was probably a little off upstairs here, out of my mind. Or if I were to go to Lake Ontario in the middle of the summer and see a boat a couple of miles out on the lake, assuming I could see that far, which I can't, and attempt to walk out to it on the water, I'd drown. As soon as I got past where my head would stay over the water, I would drown. I wouldn't be walking on top of the water. I'd be under. But these are simple things for God to do. God can easily heal illness and infirmity. People could even touch the hem of Jesus' garment as we see at the end of our passage. And they were healed. Just touching the hem of His garment, showing the faith that they had in Him, that He had the power of God to bring healing to them, was sufficient. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't even have to see them. They could just come up from behind and touch. And they were healed because of their faith. Even today, God can restore health. Usually He does that through the work of doctors, of course. But He can bring healing even when the doctors give up on someone. God created the universe. And so healing sickness or causing food to multiply and controlling the weather are very easy for Him to do. When you think about it in perspective to creating the entire universe, causing one person's blind eyes to see is really very small. Very small. Feeding 5 to 10,000 people, very small compared to creating the entire universe. Think about that. All the things Jesus did were clearly seen by large numbers of people. And so these weren't just little isolated incidents where He was alone with somebody and somebody had something needed to be done or whatever and He did it. No, here we have close to 10,000 people seeing Him, being fed by Him, seeing that He had only 5 loaves and 2 fish and eating enough to be satisfied. We have the disciples out there seeing Jesus walking out to them on the water. We see Jesus healing the sick. And the word getting around so much that the people would just walk for miles because they knew that if they came to Jesus, they would be healed. Think about all of those things. He was doing things only God could do. Now the world around us will consider what Jesus did as foolish myths. There are so many witnesses. There are so many witnesses. These aren't myths. This is reality. This is what really happened in history. And so we need to acknowledge that by the grace of God, as He opens our hearts to believe, we can understand these things in a way that the world doesn't. The world will try to talk their way around it, to rationalize, to say, oh, this might have made that happen, and so on. But not so. And what Jesus did was so out of the ordinary, so far removed from what man could do, that there's no doubt that this is the work of God. And so we need to beware of the temptation to not believe what we have read today as something that really happened in history. And you'll find places in Christianity where it's taught that, oh yeah, these are just nice stories to tell, make nice moral comments to help us live better. And in doing that, they will deny that Jesus is truly God the Son. We need to be very careful not to fall into that trap. What we read about today really happened. The people that it happened to, there were many of them and they saw it. And it was clear. And they knew that these were things that man cannot do. These things may be hard to believe and accept from a human perspective. Yeah, we can't do those things. But God has the power to do that. And as He gives life to your dead spirit in that new birth, He opens your heart to see and to understand. And that's one of the great blessings of the gospel, that God, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, sent His Son Jesus into this world to pay the penalty for our sin, and then sends His Spirit into our hearts to bring what is dead spiritually to life. And so as we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it brings a dramatic change to our perspective on life. As we now understand all of these things from the fact that God is the sovereign Lord who has created all things, who has the power to do all things according to His good and perfect will, and could do even these miraculous things we've read about. And so we're called to focus on Jesus, as Peter was called to do, and not to look away as he did, but to focus fully, carefully, constantly on Christ, and recognize the ability of God to do whatever is necessary to carry out His plan and purpose for His creation. We don't always understand how all the things fit together. And we need to accept that, and we need to acknowledge that. We are not infinite, and we can't always put things together right. But God, the God that did all these things we've read of, He has the ability to put the entire history of everything in His creation together. And it fits. And it fits perfectly. And His will is being done. And so, we need to not be like the disciples who didn't realize Jesus could easily multiply a little food, for example. It's interesting to think about the disciples. Here they were. They were with Jesus for 3 years. And this is probably at the end of year 2. They've seen a lot. And still they're struggling. And so when we struggle, we need to understand that's a human thing. And even the disciples struggle. The call upon you and I is to not let those struggles that we may have turn us away from Christ. Keep your focus on Jesus. And recognize that He is God the Son. And He has the power of God. And we've seen that demonstrated. So turn to Christ. In all things, turn to Christ and rejoice that He really is God the Son. Let's pray. Lord our God, we confess that sometimes we're like the disciples, that sometimes we just don't realize what You are able to do, that we don't always recognize Your power and Your authority and Your sovereignty. And we acknowledge that, O God, and we pray that You would strengthen us in our faith. Lord, You showed Your power in such dramatic ways as Jesus did all these things that we've read about and so many more. And we thank You, O God, for that evidence that You granted to us. And for all the witnesses who saw these things, for the truth that You give us here, that Jesus really is God the Son. Help us to remember that, O God, and bless us as we seek to serve Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.